Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elish Quinn. Well, Canada has lost one of its most iconoclastic artists. Jutai Tunu, the renowned Inuit carver and artist from Cape Dorset, that's the community in the eastern Arctic territory of Nunavut, died unexpectedly over the holidays. Now, Tunu was known for a wide range of subject matter and mediums, but he was known for his searing and sometimes humorous commentary on contemporary social and political issues. Now, to find out more about the man and his works, I'm joined now by Pat Feely from Feely's Fine Arts in Toronto, Ontario. She represented one of the galleries that represented Jutai Tunu, and she was also a close friend. Pat Feely, hello. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello. Thank you for asking me.
There's so much to touch on in terms of Jutai Tunu's works, but I thought we could start off just by talking for a moment about the man. Tell us a little bit about Jutai Tunu, how he got started, and sort of who he was.
Well, I suppose the best way for me to start is to say that he was an extraordinary and unique personality and a persona that was absolutely larger than life. It's one of the reasons why it's hard to imagine him not being with us anymore. He came from a family of artists. His father, Tunu, was an artist. His mother did some graphic art, although with the raising a family, it was very difficult. And it was not an easy life. His father was murdered when he was 10. And leaving his mother to cope with bringing up the family. And, you know, as recently as the last 2 years, he lost both his mother and his older sister, Uvalu Tunili, also a great sculptor, to cancer. So, as I say, it's been a life that has been difficult on occasion. And he apparently always, always wanted to be a sculptor and wanted to be a sculptor like his father. In fact, a piece he did about 15 years ago, he went out to his father's old outpost camp and found a very large piece of stone that his father had partially carved. And he finished it, brought it into town, and wrote on it that it finished what my father started. So sculpture was his first love, and he continued working in sculpture until the last couple of years. It has been more difficult for him physically in the last couple of years because he's had some medical issues to do sculpture. Along the way in the 1970s, he became very intrigued with printmaking programs, specifically with lithography, which allows the printer, I think, a bit more creative freedom. So he was one of the master printers for a number of years, but never really involved himself with graphic art, with drawing. He just continued on with his sculpture. And then in the last 15 years, when there has been this extraordinary nascence of original drawing, of original contemporary drawing in the King Knight Studios in Cape Dorset, Jutai came into the studios and started doing these magnificent drawings. He had not been interested earlier because there were not the opportunities of scale and mixed media. But once the drawing studios were expanded and once scale was expanded and different media offered, he just thrived and has become really one of the best known of the contemporary Inuit artists who were working in the medium of pencil crayon, oil stick. His drawings are now in all of the major museums, the National Gallery, the Archive of Ontario, the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, and he has been acclaimed as one of the most significant contemporary artists of Canada, let alone one of the most significant Inuit contemporary artists of Canada.
Can you talk a little bit what your memories of the first time that you encountered Jutai Tunu's work and him, and what was it about the kinds of subject matters that he was tackling? What was it about his work that sort of set it apart for you and made you really take notice of this artist?
From the beginning, it was his originality. Even in his earlier work, when you know, Inuit sculpture tended to be much more focused on traditional subjects. Jutai was simply doing whatever was in his head and whatever interested him. And so he was absolutely and remained until his death, really one of the most original artists in terms of his inspiration for his work and what he did in his sculptures. He's a poet. I've always called him a poet and a philosopher as well. He is very widely read, could quote from the Bible, could quote from the Koran. And most of his sculptures he would actually put a message on, and some of them were very much based in, in social climate or comments about either global issues or just issues about the recession, about the economy. Whatever he was in his wide reading, whatever came into his head that he was thinking about, he would put into his art. So it varied. It was constantly, constantly unique and moving. And he really never repeated himself. Once he began these drawings, which range up to, there's a drawing in the National Gallery of Canada that is 16 feet long, depicting cancer cells. So that gives you an idea of how original some of his work is. He would just go, like many artists, he would go in the seams. So, for instance, he was known for doing heads and faces, and that does occupy a lot of his sculpture. But our last exhibition for him was actually a still life exhibition. He actually did a study of everything around him, and it ranged from debris on the ground to a fabulous drawing of a stove, which actually depicts the hot knifing, which is a drug technique. And so he was forever trying, forever experimenting, forever finding new subject matter. He used acrylic. He went out when he was in the South and bought canvas and acrylics and experimented with that. So it was a constant search for originality and to work out what he was thinking about.
And, you know, one thing that has come up as we've been talking with people about Jutai Tunu, he had a very a signature style. You're talking about the sort of these heads and forms that became sort of a trademark. But it was interesting, every time he had a new show, the way people said was, oh, look at what Jutai Tunu's done now. And, you know, recently people have mentioned what you mentioned about the cancer cell images. Mm-hmm. What was it about him that even, you know, as he was approaching 60, there was always something so fresh about the way he approached his work? You know, how do you characterize, or where do you think that came from?
I think it was his constantly inquiring mind. Jutai's mind was always questioning, wanting to learn. He would spend, a lot of time, for instance, on the internet learning about things. The cancer, the best example I can give is the cancer cell series, because that was actually a series of four pieces that he drew, in fact, while he was down here in my gallery. We had lunch. We were discussing relatives at that point, his mother and a relative of mine who had cancer and several of his contemporary artists. And we just talked about cancer over lunch. And then he borrowed my computer, and he had a sketchbook, which is also unusual in some ways. And he spent a couple of hours just sketching cancer cells, and this led into this amazing series of drawings about cancer cells. So it was, as I say, him always wanting to experiment, to learn, to investigate. And then I think he just got very excited with this and wanted to translate it into a visual, visual art.
Did he ever discuss with you the cancer cell series and his thoughts about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say at that point, one of the artists, I can say this, I.T. Hudegu was suffering from cancer, and there have been a number of other cancer deaths in Dorset. So the discussion over lunch had been that this was devastating and that we were all suffering from it. But when he did the drawings, he would, as he often did, he'll draw things or letters or words in. And in fact, the two largest pieces had positive messages. particularly the 12-foot piece, where he was drawing the cancer cells, but he was also writing in English messages about it can be stopped, it can be beaten. And he said that, you know, this was how he felt about it, that with the amount of research, with everything that's going on and with how devastating it is, that something has to be done, that a cure will be found, that this can't be allowed to continue. So he really felt very strongly, and I think one of the reasons why people react so strongly to his work, when whether you've seen it for the first time or whether you're seeing it, you know, whether you followed all of his shows, is the heart and soul that he put into these pieces. You know, when I've shown him at Art Toronto every year, and you'll have people going by who've never looked at Inuit contemporary art, and his work just would arrest them and stop them. And as I say, I think it was just the absolute, soul, his soul, that he expressed and that came out in his work.
And
very passionate.
Pat Feeley, the feature of Jutai Tunu putting the messages, whether it's his carvings or his prints or drawings, it's quite unique. And you know, sometimes there would be things, I wish I could remember the exact context, but there was a carving where he was talking about, that I saw where he was talking about craft dinner. But then in another carving mm-hmm. next to it, it would be something quite serious about religion and, you know, Inuit mm-hmm. in the Arctic. You know.
Oh, there was a lot about social problems, a lot about drinking, a lot about drugs, an awful lot about how affected the North is by the South. I remember specifically one sculpture that he did. This would be, 20 years ago. We were going through one of our periodic recessions, and he did this sculpture, which referred to, in the words on it, a recession. And he then said, in a lot of folding of the hands, i.e. nobody was able to pay for, you know, his work or other people's work.
Wow.
So he reflected constantly, what was happening that day. And some of it, again, I'm trying to think of another one. There was one where the writing on it had to do with hierarchy and how he couldn't understand why hierarchy existed and why would a queen or a prime minister be more important than a person. So a lot of it was he was just expressing thoughts that he had. And sometimes very humorous. I have a piece personally that is two-sided with a head, and one side, I won't give you the whole quotation, but one side basically is quite a long statement about the Hadluna having come north and bringing with them their social problems and their diseases, and that this has been a problem in the North. And then you turn it over and he says, on the upside, they brought with them the toilet. So there's great humor as well.
And for our international listeners, like, a Hadlunat is the way Inuit refer to white people or foreigners.
Right. People who are not from above the tree line.
Pat Feeley, you know, his death was quite sudden. I'm wondering now, what do you think his legacy is going to be?
I think, and I should just interject, that the wonderful thing is that when he passed away, he was in the middle of drawing or making a drawing, which I think, had he known, that would have made him very happy. What will be left will be, of course, the magnificent sculptures and drawings. He didn't write a lot in terms of, long prose, but he wrote, he expressed his thoughts on his sculptures. And since the advent of Facebook, he has been one of the most prolific commentators on Facebook, and you could tell what he was thinking about that day. Sometimes it would be the derivation of a word and where it came from, or, as I say, a highly intellectual and inquisitive mind. So it will be the writings on his sculptures, in his drawings, and just the extraordinary talent, that made these wonderful works that are left with us. Somebody who's known him for 35 years and has been a good friend and has followed his work, I think what will remain with me is that this was a man who was a very talented artist, who was an intellectual, who, despite medical problems and a lot of hardship, managed to continue being positive and looking forward and investigating the world and enlightening many of us by the questions he asked. So it's more than just his art. It is how he affected all of us around him, because he made you think about things. And, you know, not a lot of people in this life do that.
Pat Feeley, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
You are more than welcome.